Hello.
Hi, Craig.
Hey.
Hey, Lisa.
Sorry, guys. There was a miscommunication.
Okay. Signing.
Door. Hey, Craig. Good
Good
seeing you.
morning.
You too, man. Always.
Yeah.
Hey, Louis.
Hey, Craig, how you doing?
All right, you and I just trolling each other, right?
We are. I'm actually heading out shortly. I'm driving a friend downstate to pick up a motorcycle.
Where are you driving to?
Peoria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
anyway.
So because of the delay with the thing with the Zoom, we'll just give everyone a couple of more minutes to try again because I'm sure that some people just disconnected.
So, Craig, are you a host so that you can share your screen?
Well, I mentioned that to Joel. So, Joel, how you?
Me make Ezra is
You should
host.
both be co-hosts.
Person.
Okay. All right.
You can try to share screen and verify that right now.
Yeah, let's just try that.
Okay.
Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Looks good, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna be here, but I'm not gonna be here because I'm actually supposed to be in another meeting.
Well, that's what I'm going to do is it's 11:35. We'll get started. I'm sure some people will probably jump in late because of what, this coming on late, but we'll get started and I'm just going to introduce my two buddies over here who I've worked with both, everybody. Why don't we open up quickly with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. And I'm Joel. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Thank you everybody for being here. Hopefully some more will probably show up late because of the technical difficulties. However, mentorship. I'm going to introduce two people that are I've worked with in service and are very special to me. One being a mentor who's Craig, who's done all kinds of service. I met him when he was on the World Board, and I've seen him do all kinds of things. And I've gone to him for questions, and we've also become friends. And then I can't tell you, Lisa and I have been I've been down in Florida for 13 years, and we've worked pretty much side by side at region and area for all those years. And we are both on the mentorship committee at which is an ongoing work group at the Florida region. So I'm going to give you Craig and Lisa right now, and it's all yours. Thanks for being here. Love you guys.
Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, Joel. So, folks, and thank all of you for being here, and thank you, Joel, for asking Lisa and I to co-partner together and share this workshop and just to share some information. And we're really looking for this to be a conversation and not, this monologue between two talking heads, but actually it'd be a conversation. And what Lisa and I want to, sorry about that. What Lisa and I want to do is we just want to set the table and then just, engage everyone and have this conversation and people share your experiences or things you might want to see or not see and that kind of thing. We put together a quick little PowerPoint to just kind of give us some foundation and structure as we go through this. So I'm gonna bring up the PowerPoint and we will take it from there if I can get to it. I'm assuming you guys can see my screen. So we just talked about that. Lisa is from Florida. I'm from Maryland. I'm actually from North Carolina. I live in Maryland, and I've been living here for 1,302 days and moving back to North Carolina in the summer. So, Lisa, you just want to quickly introduce yourself, please?
Well, you're going to be hearing my voice message in the back because my husband's prescription is ready at CVS, and that's going off on my answering machine. But I'm Lisa. I'm from Florida. I have been working, like Joel said, at the Florida region on the mentorship work group. And we chose CVS Pharmacy. I also mentor at the area level and at the home group level. I've got clean in Florida. Did a couple years in Georgia. We lived on a dairy farm and for a while, and then moved back to Florida. So most of my recovery has been in Florida.
Cool. So we want to just start off with some quick readings from our literature that we found. And this is just some things to, again, help set the table and help set the atmosphere, and some quotes about leadership. Service is not a position, it's a posture in the heart. And there's some correlation between leadership, service, and mentorship. And then it talks about how simple mentorship can be, which we hope to conversate about today. And then as far as rotation and continuity and that warm transition of service responsibilities and people being involved in that. So these are just some quotes to just kind of think about for a few seconds as we go through here, and to help guide you in some of your thinking and some of the things that you might want to share about. So, Lisa, you want to start us off?
Yeah, so I've got the phone off now, so you shouldn't hear that anymore, I think, anyway. But, and I appreciate Craig talking about how we chose this PowerPoint. This is all Craig. My part is the name on the front. We discussed the PowerPoint. We looked at the PowerPoint, but I give him all the credit for putting this together. So mentorship, the way this got real, and Craig or Joel mentioned that we were on the mentorship work group. And this became an issue here in Florida region with us trying to figure out ways to keep people that are rotating into positions from stumbling for the first, few months of their position. You know, we only meet in region every other month. So by the time you've done it like for three times, you're 6 months in to a position. And we weren't always in the fortunate position of having somebody in a vice position or an alternate position to learn before they got into their new position. So they were reteaching themselves and reinventing the wheel a lot. So we came up with this idea for this mentorship work group, which is a group of us at the Florida region that show up at region, even without a position, just to help solve those little things. Like, what do I do as an RCM? What do I do as a FD co-leader? What do we do? Because those of us on the work group have watched, either been in some of those positions or watched those positions, and can try to help guide offline, off to the side while people are trying to learn their position. And it really got us thinking, me thinking, that this happens at all levels of service. You know, we start at the home group level. You teach somebody how to make coffee. And believe me, you need to teach them right, because people at a meeting will tell you when a coffee is not right. And people don't always know, right? If you've never made coffee in a big coffee urn, you don't know how much coffee to put in. Or when we used to empty ashtrays, right? You know that ashes are going to fly all over the place. You don't need to learn that the first time you empty ashtrays. So all those little things, we've always done that at home groups, shown somebody how to do that. And that's kind of what mentorship is, but we don't always carry that into service positions. And this is the service symposium. So I think this is really talking about mentorship in service positions other than just, making coffee. And, where do the chairs go when you put the chairs away, and where's the broom to sweep up? We're good, in my experience, at the home group level of helping to mentor each other at those things that happen at our meeting, but maybe not always with our GSR. You know, GSRs at my area show up sometimes having never been an alternate GSR and don't know what to expect and causes confusion on the floor. So having that alternate GSR physician that actually goes with you to area is like a mentorship thing. Or having people at area that can pull a GSR aside and say, look, when we vote, this is what you need to do, without having all that confusion on the floor every time there's a new GSR. That's the kind of mentorship stuff that I have found lacking at some levels of service. So I try to do that in the background. I just left a treasurer position where I had an alternate treasurer. That's a built-in mentorship position, but that doesn't always happen. So just to have those people around that can help tell someone new in a position, this is what I see when it happens. This is how I did it when it was my turn. And this is what you can do. So they don't feel embarrassed or worse yet, feel like they don't want to give their voice on the floor because they don't want to sound stupid or that they don't know what they're doing. So they'd rather just sit back and watch. And everybody's voice is important, particularly somebody new who goes, look, this doesn't look like it works for me. You know, this maybe this would work better because some of us get stuck in doing stuff the old way and it doesn't always work after a while. And new voices are important. So to give them that comfortable level that they can speak up, I think is part of mentorship as well. And the last thing I wanted to just do as an introduction to my ideas about this before Craig steps in is how I see this not as sponsorship. I had this conversation with somebody at my home group. We were talking because the reading last night was about sponsorship. And I don't see sponsorship as mentorship. Mentorship is teaching you, in my experience, how to do something new, not just my experience, strength, and hope, and going through the steps and working a program. So I see it as separate from sponsorship from my recovery and my experience. Very much a very different role as far as just service and not a personal program. So those are the ideas that I kind of wanted to throw into the mix. And Craig, I'll toss it to you.
Thanks, Lisa. I'm an addict named Craig. I don't know if I said that at the beginning, but so, you know, and I can identify with a lot of what you said, Lisa. I know I came to NA in 87. I've been clean 33 years. And one of the first, other than sponsorship and a home group, I got involved with H&I. And I had, at that time, I had less than 90 days, and this guy was going around the room talking about, he was coming to meetings asking for people to get involved with H&I. He was announcing that at meetings, and no one would ever go up to him. And no one, he never seemed to get any help, and he seemed frustrated with it. So, of course, I knew just a little bit at 30, 45 days, 50 days clean. I went up to him and said, I'll help you with it. And he said, he said, when you get 90 days, come back. And I don't think he actually thought I was going to come back to him. But that 90 day, what he told me gave me a target and a goal. And it helped me stay clean. When I got 90 days, I went right back to him. He became my first mentor because I'm not going to go through the whole story. But what I got from him was encouragement, support. And he shared his experience with H&I because I was as nervous as I don't know what going into treatment center and prison, those kind of places. I didn't think I had anything to offer. And he helped me see. From that experience with him, I got involved with H&I in my area in North Carolina, in Raleigh. And when I got a year clean, I became the chairperson of the committee, of the H&I committee. And one of the from that lesson that I got from him and my own experience, I put together and helped the committee rally around an orientation for new members in H&I. That had never been done in IRL. And just from that experience of me feeling insecure, less than, not sure of myself, we put together an orientation for new members that get involved with H&I. Everyone, if you wanted to be involved with H&I, you had to go through the orientation. And it was just not, it was a practical way of Number one, ensuring that we're carrying a clear, consistent message. But the other thing that was the spiritual part of that, because I think, you know, there's a practical part and a spiritual part. The spiritual part was helping people, encouraging them and supporting members and meeting them right where they are and helping them see by giving them an orientation, not an indoctrination, but an orientation so that they would feel more comfortable. And I just assumed that some of them would feel like me. So as time has gone by, I stayed involved with H&I. I served on the, I actually ended up serving as the World H&I chairperson, got elected to the board. I served on the World Board for 12 years and being the chair of the board. Just different service responsibilities. I've always taken that experience and remembering that when I'm sharing with other people and being a part of, because I think there's a informal way to practice mentorship, and then there's a formal way to do that. And we've been doing mentorship for years, we just didn't call it that. And I totally agree, it's not the same as sponsorship, but it's meeting people where they are, encouraging people, showing people that they have value and helping people reach their potential. Doesn't mean that everyone's gonna end up doing the same thing, but I believe, and just as in recovery, there, you know, because there's no model of the recovering addict. There's no model of the service person either. But it's helping people be encouraged to find a place to serve that they feel comfortable with, but encouraging them and supporting the view that they have something to offer and sharing my experience with people on certain things. I have a couple of people right now that I mentor. One of them is through the concepts. I'm not his sponsor, but he called on me to help mentor him through using the concepts in service and what that means and how he can utilize those concepts in service. The other person is a regional delegate that asked me to mentor him through being the delegate and working with the World Service Conference and around emotions and being at the conference and helping him through that process. And I support him and he calls on me. The other part about formal mentorship is the Northeast Zone Forum has a fellowship development subcommittee. And under that umbrella of FD, they do training of RCMs and any type of training that the areas or groups may call for. They have a place where someone can go, like I'm on the HR, my name is in the HR pool in the Northeast Zone, and I signed up for mentorship and leadership and facilitation. So when people want to, they'll pair me up with someone that chooses mentorship. This is all the Northeast Zone Fellowship Development Subcommittee that put this together. It's still in its early days, but it's given a place for people to go and pair people up with mentorship. In the Carolina region, something you spoke about, Lisa, that I really can relate with is the Carolina region. One of the things that they have in place is when trusted servants roll off and other people rotate in, there is a separate meeting at the end of the service year where the new trusted servants pair with the old trusted servants and they have a warm transition and they go through the responsibilities and they're together in that meeting. And it's a transition meeting to help with continuity and rotation and helping people feel the same way. We're doing the same thing now. I serve on the Human Resource Panel for the World Service Conference. We're going to be doing the same thing this upcoming conference year, because with the pandemic and the conference being delayed a little bit, we had the two rotating HRP members rotating off. we had meetings with the new people. And so they took advantage of, we took advantage of their experience, and it helped the two new people, because there are two people elected at every conference for HRP. It helped them feel more comfortable. And also we went over the action plan and the things that we're moving forward on, so that they would be up to, they would get up to speed a little bit more quickly. And so we're gonna introduce the same idea for this conference cycle. We're gonna keep the new, if they're willing, the two outgoing HRP members on board for a virtual meeting with the two incoming HRP members, so we can have a warm transition, and we can all, it would help with the continuity if we're all together sharing. So I'm done. And as I said, you know, we want to hear from you guys, and like make this just a real conversation as much as possible. So here's some things to think about. What are some of the ways that mentorship has benefited you? Can you think of times where mentorship could have benefited you more? And these are just some things that Lisa and I just threw out here just to help the conversation. Anything you want to go with, but how do you mentor others? And so let's start this conversation. I saw one hand up already. And that was Lewis.
Hey, I'm Lewis. I'm an addict, and I'll show my video. I'm actually getting ready to head out there. I mean, this is a great conversation. I just want to put in a plug. The Northeast Zonal Forum today is hosting an RCM best practices gathering workshop, and I'm so technically bad, I'm unable to put a link in the chat, but Jim's here. And he might be able to help with that regard. And there's one thing that you hit on. You know, as many of you know, I've been involved in, you know, making NA, you know, better and our service structure more effective, et cetera, and so forth. And mentorship is one of those things, like communication, where we've said we need more of it, you know, better of it all the time. But yet, you know, one thing I've observed is that I've seen people mentoring others passing on bad techniques. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes the mentors don't quite know what to be doing. And I think what you mentioned on the H&I situation is we need to focus more on training, you know, on actual training. And what the Northeast Zonal Forum is doing is designing training. We're working on one for RDs. And this is the first salvo and working on one for RCM training. And just in learning about RD practices, best practices, I learned that I wasn't a very good RD. You know what I mean? Because we've discovered that there are a lot more secrets at these service practices that we need more, you know, better design training methods, basically. And so, anyway, I've got to roll out of here, but I wanted to make my plug for that. And I'm hoping I can find myself in a place where I can actually attend it today. I have to, as I say, drive down south. So anyway, hope you all are well. Great to see you as always. And I am heading out. Take care.
Thank you, Lewis. Be safe.
One thing Lewis said that is so important is that mentorship can be that two-way street like sponsorship is. Like when I first became treasurer in our area, the treasurer, I was alternate treasurer, she was treasurer, she was mentoring me, teaching me the position. But when I became treasurer, some of the ways she was doing things was not working for me, especially when we went on Zoom. The way her treasurer's report was laid out didn't make sense to me. She had things in different places and I would put them in a report. And I wasn't comfortable changing it because she was treasurer. This is how it was. She had learned from the other treasurer. And so I wasn't comfortable changing it, but it just wasn't working for me. So I told her, she goes, oh, just make it work for you. And it's just that little bit of permission that I needed to go, you're right. It's my job now. Let me just make it work for me. Now my alternate treasurer is having that same problem because we didn't get a real effective mentorship situation because we went to Zoom. She became treasurer in January. January in my area is a transition month. So yeah, we're both treasurers together. And then she fledges for February. But then March we couldn't even meet. So she struggled to put a treasurer's report together. And we were just going through it this month. And I'm like, just make it work for you. She goes, I don't understand this or that. I was like, then just make it work for you. Just that little bit of permission to make it mine, right? Because the way I do things might be different. Not that the way the other treasurer did it was bad, as Lewis has indicated what a horrible RD he was. Not that we're bad, right? We either do the best we can without effective mentorship, or ways of doing things just can be better. And we have to accept that when we're in a position, we have that confidence to make it our own. And if we do something that doesn't work, we learn that that doesn't work. And then we try something different and we're not afraid to ask for help. But to not get locked into this is the way things always are, I think that's an important thing as a mentor to let them know, look, if you find a way that works better, this is how I did it. This is how it's worked. But if you find a way that works better, let's give it a try. Don't be afraid to make it your own. And I think that's important for people in service to learn as well, because that's how things change and get better.
Yeah. You're so right, Lisa. And that's a key point too. When people move, I know it has been for me, I've lived in four regions since 07, and things are different. And so moving from one area to another region, you know, from one region to another region, I've had home groups in all those regions. I've been involved with service in all those regions. And we do things different. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong. It could just be different. And I think it's a good thing that we all can be ourselves and practice autonomy in our own growth. So guys, people that just came in, we're just conversating about mentorship and what your experience might be. And some of you might feel like you could have benefited more with more mentorship. So just, you know, feel free to share your conversation and your experience with us.
That's another thing Craig and I were hoping we could do here is if you found a place where you were lacking mentorship, where it really would have helped you to have more of a mentorship issue, then how can we maybe help you in your area or your home group or your region find a way to solve that problem? Because if it happened to you, it's probably happening to others in your service level. And we would like to be able to provide some assistance with that if we can. And it looks like Daryl C's hand is up. So go ahead, Daryl.
Hi, y'all. My name is Daryl. I'm an addict. I just wanted to touch on briefly what a couple of my recent experiences were. Right now, I've already been through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous through the step working guides with my sponsor. And now I want to start on the traditions. So I am looking for a sponsor or mentor to do that with, because it's interesting that you divided it out saying that a mentor is not a sponsor, and I understand the difference, but part of my traditions would be doing more service work at the area or regional level. So it's kind of all incorporated. I need a sponsor or a mentor who could take me through that. I am the GSR of my home group. Several people know me, so I had to be careful how I word this, but I love my home group, but honestly, I have not been to an in-person meeting in a year. And so I continue to be the GSR for my home group, even though I have not physically attended. And they have elected every other position except for the GSR position. I have been doing that for 2 years and I love it, but, and I feel like I'm pretty good at it, but all I get now is, Daryl, you're so good at this, and wow, your reports are awesome. And of course, I spend way too much time and obsessed over it, like it's a report in graduate school with different colors and font sizes and all that fancy stuff. And I try to make it clear and not overdo it. But I honestly, I'm tired of being complimented about it. I'm like, just elect someone else. And they have not done that. But I'm trying to be diplomatic and view the position as a position of service. So I am honored to do that. It doesn't mean that I don't want to do that or I shouldn't be doing service, but it's hard to get people to step up. There was a GSR orientation. I don't want to speak directly about that person, but it was very I hate it when newcomers do, old timers do this in meetings, to be honest with you. They dump the entire thing in a few minutes on that person, like the new GSRs, or when you're in a meeting and they want to dump the entire program of Narcotics Anonymous onto a newcomer in 5 minutes or less, you know, just the rapid fire without taking a breath, no interaction, not hearing from the person that they were trying to mentor, you know? So I saw that as a problem. It felt very unilateral and not interactive. And I learned best when I'm able to ask a question and try to do it together, you know, so I would know. So that's an issue as well. So I was just wondering how you would address that and filling the position. And I even posted on the, it was kind of funny because I'm dropping hints, which weren't really hints, on our group chat, you know, the little quotes from the service manuals and everything about the importance of service, but I guess they didn't really get the hint, you know? So I'm just being honest, I'm telling on myself. I don't want to be too pushy, but I think it's important. So thank y'all for letting me share my experience, and I listen for any advice or whatever that y'all may have. Thank you.
I actually have an experience with that kind of situation, and I do see another hand up, and we are going to get to you. I was a Frickner rep at my region for, I don't know, 5 years or something, because I was very involved with Frickner, which is our Florida Regional Convention, but nobody was stepping up because Lisa was doing such a great job. So Lisa stepped down, and we didn't have a Frick rep for like 2 years, and that's just the way it is. Because we need to, that's my son, because we need to make sure that we don't get burned out, right? So that's my experience with holding on to a position far too long. And you know what happened? Frickna still went on, and people from my area still attended Frickna. And if they wanted to know questions, they could either ask me or they could go to Frickna meetings. We just didn't have a rep at our area service. And that's my experience with that. But something else you said, an orientation is not the same as mentorship. That 5 minute dump at RCM orientation or GSR orientation, that is not mentorship. Mentorship is that one-on-one. So there are two really different things for me. We have a GSR orientation. At the beginning of our region, we have an orientation that's like 12 or 15 minutes, depending on who's running it, 20 minutes. But that's not the same as mentorship. That's not the same as that person you call over and say, I didn't really understand that. What is that? They're two really different things. So before we go to the next hands up, Craig, did you want anything to share?
No. Well, I had a friend of mine that was the treasurer for the area convention for 7 years running. And he was like my best friend. And I said, Fred, when are you going to stop being the treasurer? They won't let me go because I do such a great job. They won't let, I said, no, it's not them, it's you. All you need to do is step away. You won't let it go. No one's going to challenge you because of all the clean time you got. But if you step away and let go, they will. There's people out there that want to do it, but they're not going to challenge Fred. So just wanted to bring that up. Thanks, Lisa, for helping me remember that. And Colin.
I'm an addict named Colin.
Hi, Colin.
This is such a great topic, and I was really happy to see it when it was first started talking about on the regional floor. I know my experience in Narcotics Anonymous has been, I've been in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. And somebody's like, hey, well, you're going to do this role? And I'm like, okay. And somebody said, yeah, you really need to do it. This will be great, blah, blah, blah. And I have no clue what it is. And I see that happen in our area all the time, where somebody who's excited and gung-ho about Narcotics Anonymous, they're showing up to meetings, they're coming to area service because that's what everybody tells them to do. But they have no clue what it means to do a lot of these roles. And so they take on these roles without having any experience, and they figure it out. And, but I know I've seen other people, and I've also had my own direct experience, that I'll try to figure it out myself without asking for help because I don't know who to ask it for help from, or the one guy that's done everything in the area, I know that I could probably go ask him for help, but he's an asshole. And so it's just like, that's hard for me because I'm not going, I have a personal issue with somebody that, you know, that, I mean, this is my stuff, that sometimes if I don't agree with somebody, I will, like, I'm going to make it harder for myself and I'm going to do it my way, even when it could have been done a lot easier. I know in activities, I did a bunch of stuff that, you know, later on, I was talking to somebody and I was showing them some of the things that I was planning. I use spreadsheets for everything. I'm a spreadsheet geek. And they're like, you know, somebody did this a couple of years ago. Did you talk to so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that they were in, you know, activities chair back then. And so it's just, I think that what's coming up for me is that I think the idea of a mentor is a great idea. And I think that if that could start to somehow be modeled in areas, so that become a common role, even if it's not in the structure at all, but like, you know, hey, you're in the Uncoast area, Bob, Jenny, and Tim are the mentors for the last couple of years, because they've done everything. They've been around forever and they're still active and involved. I mean, how do we get to that point to where mentor is just a common term that's thrown around with some trusted servants who have done everything? Because I know every area that I've been to, we've got trusted servants that have been around forever, that have done lots of different roles and they have a lot of experience. And even if they're not the right mentor, they're the person that would know, oh, so-and-so did that. Here's their number to somebody that's coming up. And like, I forget what it's like being a newcomer. I forget what it's like when I don't really know anyone, but I'm like passionate to be involved. And, you know, that's something we need to cultivate, that transition from being like new and excited and energetic to like connecting them with people who are long-term recovery, who have done a lot of service, and can transition them into like that long-term service. So thanks for letting me share.
I think we do that fairly well at my area. So I'm sorry to hear that your area doesn't do that, but we kind of do. We'll say, you know what, so-and-so was activities chair or so-and-so did this. But one thing that I see in our area and even in our region is that the old timers that tend to, like Craig was saying, be treasurer for 8 years or do this for 5 years, when they're done, they're done. They don't want to come back. I don't want to be at an area meeting. I don't want to be at a regional meeting. I've done my turn, somebody else's turn. And part of what started this mentorship group at the Florida region was really a way to keep those people involved. That was kind of our focus at the beginning. How do we keep these long-term region survivors from wanting to just go somewhere else, right? They've done all the positions. They've rotated through everything. How do we keep them involved? And that was really what this mentorship group started out to be. But yeah, one thing that I noticed in my area was we started to get people when they were turning 10 years, you know, like it took a while for people to get 10 years, 30 years ago. And they all started getting these X-Men shirts, right? Cause they had 10 years. And what we started to notice was people with X-Men shirts weren't in service. Like, where are you going? Right? Hey, X-Men, show up at an H&I meeting. Hey, X-Men, show up at an area meeting. But they were like, oh, we've done it. In the spirit of rotation, we want everybody else to do it. Well, we got to remember that we have to teach them. So I hope that we can help find that way to do it in your area as well. Craig, before we go to Christy Beth, anything to add?
Nope, I'll come back. We'll come back. We'll circle back.
Hi, Christy.
Hey, everybody. I'm an addict. My name's Christy.
Hey, Christy.
All your smiling faces. Thank you all for doing service. I was thinking about this. This is a topic that's pretty dear to my heart. And when several years ago, this started when I came to our region and also to my area. And I said, you know, we have a lot of members with time that have been here for a long period of time that are rolling off and we're going to lose that strength, hope, and experience. And I suggested kind of a, you know, it was an honorary kind of like a guardian position. And I suggested at my area, because when the person walks off the floor and at the region, you lose all of that continuity, the institutional knowledge, the historical perspective about, you know, oh, well, we tried that, you know, several years ago, and this is what happened. And so that's kind of where the mentorship work group came out of. And Lisa has been she's been there consistently. And that's what we need, is the consistency. When I was area chair and when I was regional chair, the thing that I would do is if I identified that someone was new, I would say to them, you know, I'd take them aside and I'd say, this person and this person, and this person, they've all been here before. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them. Now with the region, we sit in alphabetical order, so they would know. But in our area, I would just kind of sit the person next to someone who's been an experienced member and kind of walk them through and just kind of identified who those people are that they could go to if they had questions, just trying to open that communication. I also am familiar with the idea that the triad of learning is tell, show, do. You tell someone how to do it, you show them how to do it, and then you let them do it. And I think that's where a lot of times we get caught up because, you know, in H&I, I was an H&I chair for many years, and that was my commitment. That was, you know, my H&I or my H&I meeting or my, you know, and it's not mine, it's ours. It belongs to our fellowship. So tell, show, do. I tell you how to do it, I show you how to do it, and then I let you do it. And then I'm there to support you when you do it, you know, and that's, I just, you know, one of the things we talk about consistently is where are the members with time, you know, and, you know, I see a bunch of us right here, you know, we're here, but we are missing a lot of people. You know, you ask the question to the people that are here. Well, we're here. It's going out and getting the people that aren't here anymore and inviting them. You know, one of the things that happens in my experience is people will say, you know, you should do H&I because, you know, that was, you know, you need to give it away to keep it. And, you know, and we don't need to shame people into service. We need to invite them in. You know, I go to my sponsees and I invite them to participate rather than shaming them into, you know, doing it. I have a servant's heart. It's what I'm always going to do. And all of the women that I sponsor are involved in service. It's just a requirement. You know, it's just kind of the dues we pay for the life we get to live. So, you know, part of that is just teaching people how to do it, allowing them to do it, and then supporting them while they do it. And I think that we do a pretty good job of that at our region. I don't think that people, you know, a lot of times you can see the look in people's eyes where they look like deer in headlights because all of this doesn't make any sense. And you go, I promise, stick around, you know, talk to so-and-so on the break and we'll all get through this, I promise. So I think that it's just opening up that line of communication and having people let them know that they're valued and welcome and that we want them there and that we need them there. So that's all. Thanks.
Thanks, Christy. Sherry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sherry. I'm an addict. Sherry. You know, I've grown up in the fellowship, not having any mentorship. When you joined a meeting when there was no area service, period, going grassroots and starting area service, you didn't have the mentorship. And so a lot of us are, you know, members are a lot luckier today. And I'm in a very fairly rural area. So, you know, for myself personally, I had to go outside the area, even outside the region, in order to learn about by watching and observing. And that in itself can be a great teaching thing to do. And I still do that today. But I'm really grateful that mentorship is being acknowledged more and that there's more opportunities today, not only with one-on-one mentorship, but also with the training tools that are being made available to us today, because none of that was available. But sometimes it takes stepping up. Right now in my area, we have members with decades clean. They've never done any service. What are we bringing? What would we bring back in? You know, they may have been a merchandise chair on an area convention, or they may have done special events, but no rare H&I. And even on the H&I, there was still this mentality of, I don't mean step on toes, but old H&I where you tell how bad it was, and 3/4 of the sharing inside the H&I was talking about your active addiction. You know, instead of talking about the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and what it's done, and just that kind of training and learning and mentoring to do service, you know, is really void in my area. And I could say, but, you know, it's that principles over personalities, because I moved outside personally. I have a lot of experience, and there seems to be, you know, sponsees, what Christy was talking about, you know, it's a requirement with me with sponsees. I'm not saying that they'll all get there, and I don't badger if they don't. I allow them to get there on their own. But our whole sponsorship family is one of service, and an annual meeting. We actually ask, how have you given back through service this past year for your fellowship that's kept you clean? There's accountability. You know, I don't feel that that's, you know, dogging someone. It's asking a very pertinent question. So I'm real grateful for mentorship workshop, and that it is starting to come to the surface more, because I know how a struggle that I had in getting mentored in different areas, so that I didn't carry my conscience, I carried our fellowship's conscience, and to talk about our fellowship. And I wish some of our old members would come back, but the challenge, as I said earlier, is that their service experience is now over 20 years old, and you know, we're doing things differently. So it is a challenge, but you know, I just like to say, you know, if it's not there, if it's not available, we now have, you know, the Florida Center for Symposium. We have, you know, other places, multi-zonal and other zonal events that are hosting this. And that's why I'm on this, because I want to learn how to be a better mentor and hear what works, what doesn't work, and that type of information to be able to do it better. And to be open to be able to learn and continue to learn, no matter how long I've been around here. So thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. And we're gonna shift gears here in a minute, but I don't want to, for me, leave the impression that while mentorship and sponsorship are not necessarily the same, my sponsor can provide mentorship to me, and my sponsor currently does. My sponsor has been on the board with me. He's been involved with service. He's still involved with service. So we have a sponsor-sponsee relationship, but the ingredients to mentorship is about encouragement and support and sharing wisdom and experience. And he does that. And he just happens to be my sponsor. But he's someone that when I'm because I can't go, Sherry can be a mentor to me, and she does from time to time. That's a two-way thing between she and I. And, you know, I've talked to several people on this call, Christy, Joel, we talk, we go through different things and we share experience about it. But I can't go to everybody with that in the fellowship. But I have key people, include my sponsor, that I can go and talk about service things and run things by. It may not be as formal or ongoing, but they are there. So I wanted to just kind of throw that perspective in. So let's talk about, and Lisa, jump right in. I know you will. Let's talk about, get to this going here. How can we improve mentorship in NA? Just thoughts.
One of the things that I was thinking about when Sherry was talking about old timers and where they are, their service work was so long ago and we do things different now, was that, and I heard some talking about, you know, I forget what it's like to be a newcomer and so energetic. And sometimes that disconnect, sometimes somebody with a lot of time might be a newcomer in service, right? And have that excitement about being in service or in a different service. You know, maybe they'd been doing H&I for a while and now they're on PR and like, wow, this is different, you know? And so I don't know that amount of clean time and relating to service work don't always mesh, right? I've been in service for a while because I just got in service when I first started being clean. I've always just been in service because it gives me a reason to do something. And I didn't always want a mentor because I do things my way, and my way didn't always work. So I think if we could even have people with 2-3 years would be a good mentor to somebody with a lot of clean time new in a position. But ways to improve it, I think, are kind of what we're doing now, like what's really needed and where is it needed. And finding those people, you know, we have a guy in our area that just seems to know everybody, what they've ever done and what their phone number is. So if we need somebody that's been activities chair, yeah, back in, you know, 2003, so-and-so was activities chair and they did this workshop and so he could help you. I don't have a memory for all of that, like at all, but I know that he does. So I think knowing who those people are and then tapping into them, they're sitting with all that knowledge and if nobody's asking. So it had come up when somebody else said that, but those people are kind of like little mentorship libraries, right? They may not want to do the mentorship, but they would be a good person to say, you know, we need this. And then we go find that person and try to bring them in as a guide. Maybe the word mentor scares them, but just use the experience, strength, and hope tag that we use a lot. But it's going to be on us, I think, to find those people and tell them that the worth they have is needed right now. Short term, you don't have to be committed forever. Just help us get over this bump kind of thing. So that was my thought.
Thanks, Lisa. Joel, you up?
Hi, I'm Joel, Grateful Recovering Addict. And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here because we're all service symposium, you know. I am very much in favor of what we're doing at the Florida region. You know, we have a mentorship program. Christy Beth had said that, you know, at that time we wanted to not lose the knowledge. The question is, how do we get more people involved in doing mentorship? Now, I also think that in the last year, there's been some major changes, you know, that none of us have had experience in because COVID has done some things that actually created an interesting situation where the younger members at the beginning with, you know, Zoom and stuff like that, clued me in on what to do. And I was able to use it even in my career. However, I'm always on, like, I don't know how to explain this. I know that I'm very, very much a part of service because of my experience that I had when I got here. I got here originally in 1984 when New York City was struggling. There was no 7 meetings. And I know everyone heard the history last night that might've been here, but it failed in New York at one point, you know, and in 1984, when I came in, we were a struggling fellowship. We were back on track. It was the original New York Narcotics Anonymous had nothing to do with the current Narcotics Anonymous. And I saw it grow and I was part of that. So when I, after doing a little more research and coming back in 98, it was a automatic. I mean, I came into service and I never left service. And I think the mentorship idea is something that is just so important. I know that for me, and Lisa has done it too. You know, when we didn't have a position on the region, we came on our own dime because I felt it was an obligation. I wish more people would have that. And Sherry said something right. For many people that have been out of service for a long time, it's a different animal. I know that I had been, you know, I hadn't been at the World Conference. However, this kind of World Conference was a little bit different because it was the first time on Zoom. But I was told it was a totally different animal by Christy Beth and Biff at the time. You're not going to recognize it because my last conference was in the 80s. That I had experienced. However, you know, I can learn and use some of that experience that people have that even so it's not the same because, you know, the one thing that I did learn, and I think Lisa said something like this, it's like, you know, let it be your own. And there's nothing wrong with making a mistake when you're trying to do that. It's just a part, it's just good though to have that mentorship so that if there is a mistake or there is a bump in the road, I don't want to call it a mistake, let's call it a bump in the road. You've got people around you to support you that can help you with, you know, their experience. And that's why I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because again, Christy Beth mentioned this too, not losing that knowledge. And when people leave that have been involved for years and don't come back to service, we're losing that knowledge. We're losing that experience. And that experience, no matter how Narcotics Anonymous has changed through the growth, and Narcotics Anonymous has changed, from the 80s to now. And it's grown. And we've had to make changes. And we've had to make things at certain points our own or make adjustments. And however, none of those things would have gone as smoothly as they had if we didn't have mentorship. So I think the question here, bringing it back to the question, is I struggle. I push my sponsor all the time. Why are you not doing more service? Now, he just retired and he's bicycling all over the country and loving retirement. However, it doesn't mean that he's not mentoring me at times. He's my sponsor, so he's not my mentor, but I go to him and I ask, and there are other people in my sponsorship tree that I do the same thing, so it's important that we stay connected with those people. Again, I think the way to do this is to have more mentorship workshops throughout the global community so that we don't lose that information. But the only way to I think encourage those people to come back is us who are in service to keep, I don't want to say badgering them, but keep reminding them how important their information is, I don't like to guilt my sponsor, but I do sometimes. You owe it to this fellowship, because you say it all the time, that this fellowship is who saved your life. My sponsor says if it weren't for this fellowship, there are a lot of memos he never got when he was growing up that now he knows about. But it's important for you to pass those memos on. And I tell them that all the time. So, sometimes it's us that are here that need to remind them that, there's a space for them and there'll always be a space for them in service. And that it is, if you want to guilt them, I do, their obligation. When you're in a meeting with newcomers and you have information, don't you think it's your obligation to help that newcomer? How do we pass on the message, So I love that question, Lisa and Craig, about how do we get more people who are mentorship material to do mentorship? And I think it's us in service that need to remind our peers or people who came before us, our elders, if you want to call them that, and say, hey, come on, you're still needed. Because I think some of them don't think they're needed. I mean, I really do, which is unfortunate. So I'm going to stop babbling, but I love this topic. Lisa and Christy Beth know I was all in favor when we brought it, Christy Beth, I think, brought it to the floor about the mentorship, and it came to pass, which is really awesome here in Florida. I think it's really important because I don't think a lot of people do what Lisa and I have done and Christy Beth has done. And that's when we've sort of rolled off a service commitment in the region. We keep coming back. You can't keep us away. That's, as I'll quote Christy Beth, that's our peeps, but not everybody thinks that way, unfortunately. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Joel. Craig, I think our time is up. Did you have another slide?
Yeah, Jim, did you just raise your hand, Jim? Oh, yeah, I would just say, in answer to that question real quick, because I know we're running right out of time, is that I would hope that we could look for more formal ways to, institutionalize or bring mentorship into our service environment. Like Florida, whether it's at an area, regional, zonal level, look for ways to do that. It might even mean a mentorship IDT issue discussion topic. It might be mentorship in NAIP, something, but ways to bring that more into service so it's not such this new idea. When the service system project rolled out, when we rolled that out, mentorship was embedded in the service system project. And we got a lot of pushback, so to speak, on, and that was because the term was not necessarily understood. and what it meant. And it was misinterpreted, that kind of thing. But anyway, it comes back to communications. But I would just hope that we could do that and look for ways, and whether it's under, you know, with fellowship development, public relations, look for ways to utilize resources in our communities that aren't being utilized. Right now, the World Board is utilizing former board members and part of the effort to discuss and conversate about changing the financial model at the World Service Conference. And they've reached out to the former board members to be part of that. And we've been given tasks to do as part of that. So Lisa, anything you want to bring up in that?
I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. I don't want to hold any meetings hostage, but I'll stick around if anybody wants to ask questions offline or in the chat.
Yep, and we thank everybody for being here today and being with us.
Awesome, thank you guys. Thanks, Craig.
Hi guys.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Colin, for hosting.
Thanks, Colin.
Good to see you, Fran. Good to see
thanks,
you, Christy
everybody.
Beth.
Go Yankees.
Yes.
Oh, you had to end with that. Pick up that race cup again, Christy Beth.
Can we close with a moment of silence?
I see the face.
And the serenity prayer, since we prayed in, let's pray out, Christy. Christy, would you lead us, please?
I'm an addict. My name's Christy. Thank you, Craig. Go race. Can we have a moment of silence to reflect on why we're here, followed by the third step prayer?
See, there's Terry and there's Bri.
Fran, we're having a moment of silence. Thank you. Many of us have said, take my will and
my
life.
My life.
Guide me in my recovery.
Show me
how to live.
Clean. Just for today.
I think it's lunch break. See you guys after lunch.
Okay.